Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And so we are live, and if you would like to dial in, that number will be 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK, T-O-P-T-A-L-K, for those of you that can transpose those letters onto your phone. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and it is also sponsored by MobiusStripPress.com. And let me just get out the gate here. I've got these three C's that I just ask you to abide by. If you know me by name, please abide by my confidentiality. So there's three C's: confidentiality, be civil with me, and be concise, get to your point. I hate having to mute people or cutting them off, literally. But anywho, it's been a very, very sobering day. And I know everybody's waiting for the progressives to line up. And I can't help but try to beat them to the point as far as taking this into the political direction. And so before I do that, I want to talk once again, and I want to invite you to call in if you happen to know the jurisdiction that the Constitution delegates to the federal government regarding three crimes that they actually have jurisdiction over. All other crimes and all other things are left to the states. And so if you know what those three crimes are that were delegated to the general government, by all means, give me a call. And so with that, let me go ahead and, you know, go down this little path. You've probably heard this said before, that elections have consequences, but consequences aren't short-term. And especially when there is a big, grandioso strategy, because there has been a grandioso strategy. We've been told by George Washington in his farewell address that the states and those in power, or those with power, in other words, those with lots of money, do not like a nation with individual liberty and individual sovereignty, because it basically makes all other nations yearn for that. And what happened was it created this infectious disease that spread throughout the world. It was a matter of time, but what had set forth in 1776, and I'll tell you, there's three things that moved forward in 1776, three epochs, three changes that occurred that literally shaped the direction that we're dealing with today. And that first one was, everybody knows, 1776 was the Declaration of Independence. Most people don't know. A lot of people may know, but most people don't know that in 1776, Adam Smith wrote his book, The Wealth of Nations. And so what was that book? That was the Bible of the free market. It was the Bible that it was the book that tore down the mercantile system. And so what we have today is kind of a hybrid economic system that is kind of mercantile-ish, because you don't have the free ability to just start up a business. You have to get government's approval, and if it fits within their in other words, they are controlling. Now, the mercantile system really directs what you're going to produce and be very specific in those nuances. However, we do not have a free market. We do not have what Adam Smith proposed as allowing individuals to create their own products and create their own production and so forth. What we have is a heavily regulated market. The only free market, and there is a free market. I want you to know that there is actually a free market. But that free market is what we call the black market. And so where you don't have any government control at all. And that is truly the free market, where people go and they take risk. and, you know, bringing goods to market, and people take risks of buying those goods, whether they be gray or black or what have you, types of merchandise that, you know, may not have any warranties or what have you. But the election, there was actually, let's talk about three epochs. So let me get to the third epoch. That third epoch was a document that was written by Adam Weishaupt. And Adam Weishaupt in 1776 wrote the charter for the Illuminati. And this charter, and I'm, you know, I'm not saying that there is a conspiracy. There are many conspiracies. The word wouldn't exist if it wasn't being utilized. It would become obsolete. And so we have been programmed to think, oh, somebody uses that C word, conspiracy, then they've got to be a lunatic or a raging lunatic. And to be true and to be honest, parents conspire with, you know, the raising of their children or gifts or what have you. They may not be nefarious entirely, but there is a level of conspiring that goes on. And so why would one think that, you know, conspiracies can't exist? Because we have been programmed, again, by the mainstream media, by the education system and so forth, that people that can say that, you know, there's these evil plans. Well, those evil plans were cast in stone way back in Plato's time. When Plato wrote The Republic, he actually laid the play out, or I should say the play sheet, of what had to happen and what was needed to create a true statist government where the state controlled everything. And that has been regurgitated over and over again. And as a matter of fact, every time these types of plans get laid out and people say, we're going to do this, they actually conspire in working together to tear down governments and governance and societies so that they can literally come in and assert their power and create their elitist, statist government. So you have to be pretty naive to say, oh, well, a conspiracy. I'm telling you, actually, there's a book written by Mr. Robinson back in the, I want to say 1780s or 1790s, that proofs of the conspiracy about establishing a national church, or I should say a global church and a global governance. And it's a pretty fascinating book. And as a matter of fact, I'm in a giving mood today. So what I will do, because if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you go to my Red State Radio podcast page, you'll find that I already put up Plato's Republic. If you want it, it's there. I also put up Soros's contributors, those partners of his that have contributed to his Open Borders Foundations. And I'm going to put the proofs of the conspiracy by Mr. Robinson up there. So you would be more than willing. And, you know, if you've got the time, please read this and just take the time to come and pick it up. And that way it's just really easy for you to actually read something that a couple centuries ago where this guy was actually laying out the argument, an academic argument, that there is absolute proof that there is a conspiracy in basically unifying or creating this global governance church and so forth. And so why am I ranting on this regarding this whole school thing? For the past century, folks, we have been manipulated, and we have taken off, for two centuries, we've been taken off our course of the Constitutional Republic. And so I talked about Madison's bounties for the cod fishery, and I'm going to make this a priority for either tomorrow or the next show. I'm going to read segments out of that so that you understand the Constitution was so locked down by enumerations that the federal government did not have the power to grant themselves anything like a school system, anything like a healthcare system, anything like a justice system, or anything like that. And so I'm going to prove to you that the government that we're supposed to have is not what the Constitution dictates. But I have to do that after we come back from this break. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this.
Rippey Homes believes that the American dream is not simply owning your home, but owning your dream home. Are you ready to upgrade, expand, or start your own custom home? If you are, I'd like to invite you to check out Rippey Homes at cgrippey.com. They offer end-to-end service from real estate to remodeling and specializes in custom homes, and they love to partner with their customers in making a difficult project worry-free. From the design to the moving in, they are with you every step of the way. If you have that dream home and looking to remodel, whether it's converting your kitchen and bath into your own heaven on earth or adding a new room, Rippey Homes has the tools, talent, and experience you can trust. So if you're ready to pull the trigger on a remodel or building that custom home, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's cgrippey.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me. It's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as such, as I was talking about, elections have consequences. And for the past 2 centuries, we have slowly allowed ourselves to drift away from candidates that understand and support and defend the Constitution. We have nothing but candidates in D.C. today. I dare think that there may be only a couple on one hand that really understand the Constitution and what they're doing, but none of them know how to get us back. They just understand that we're just way off track. And so in correlating this to what happened today and what's happened throughout the past few decades, this is the results of the government getting involved in creating and asserting secularism into our society. I have made this argument in my book, my first book, where I talk about the federal government has created a national secular church. Now, they didn't build a building. They didn't appoint a pope. They already took the banner or the mantle of power upon themselves, and they started dictating using the Supreme Court and the president in trying to throw out policies and Congress throwing out laws of what you can do and what you can't do. And so they've constantly been giving themselves more and more power, and that's just because they've been able to tell us, and we've never had the documents to prove otherwise, that they can do anything and everything they need to do as long as it's necessary and proper, because they're the supreme being of the earth. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that's not true. They've been duping us for a long time. They duped our parents, our grandparents. They've been duping generations and creating unconstitutional powers. And we are now reaping those rewards for allowing them to violate the Constitution so egregiously. In the bounty for the cod fisheries, Madison uses the most horrific type of example he can when he was lecturing Mr. Livingston on the use of the general welfare and defense clause, and how Mr. Livingston said, "Well, we can pay these bounties to these fisheries by using, you know, under this general welfare clause, we have this ability to do that." And Madison said, no. We don't have the ability to do that. And he lectured them and basically pointed to the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution are the same. They're enumerated constructs, and the only thing they can do are those things that are enumerated in that. They can't use any of these clauses, the General Welfare and Defense Clause. You can't use the Commerce Clause. They can't use the Necessary and Proper Clause, nor can they use the Supremacy Clause to assume any new role, responsibility, or power. So when they started creating these new powers, like the Department of Education, and started dictating what the curriculum is going to be, and ramming Common Core and No Child Left Behind, and these standards and so forth, they've been selling us downriver. It's just like the energy department. We don't have a strategy that is going to actually help us save money and become independent. That's not their goal. Their goal is to leverage with other countries, and it seems like they're just a part of the globalist agenda as well. That's why we've been led down this path with Bush Sr. in going into all of these treaties. Now, keep in mind, Bush Sr., in his first term, was really a proponent and supporting these global tariff and trade agreements. And so if you look, even before that, President Ford was a huge proponent for this. And then actually in 1984, in Vail, Colorado, and I believe it was in July, they had what there was called a world forum. It may have been August, but it was in the summer of 84, President Ford hosted at his estate, and actually there's this huge lodge that they had all of these emissaries from the World Bank. Henry Kissinger was there. There were all sorts of people that were there. And this whole forum and the focus of this forum was how were they going to move all the countries into a single currency and move all the nations into basically a single form of government to allow all businesses to thrive internationally. It was the beginning of these talks of a globalist mind model. And I don't want to say it was the beginning of, it was actually the beginning of trying to make the plans solidify and moving forward. And so if you think about this, Bush came in power and actualized those plans by signing us up and if I had Tom DeWeese or a Agenda 21 person, they could tell you exactly what that treaty was. But they've been signing us up on unconstitutional treaties without even going through the Senate and getting two-thirds of the Senate agreed. And so here we are. We're doing all of these things, educating our kids, healthcare. You could just go through the full gamut, and I don't want to go through all the departments, but if you understand that every single one of these things are usurpations, they never went through the Article 5 process, they never got the states to say, can we please do this? They convinced us that they could do it without our approval. And so they've been running rickshaw over us this whole time. So what does this, again, have to do with these kids? What does this have to do with all of these tragedies? Well, in the 50s, they started setting up the stage for the counterculture revolution, these communist progressives that were very active in this country. Hollywood. Remember the McCarthy trials and the naming names? Well, I mean, if Hollywood wasn't communist, you know, then what are they now? They were, and these things were really happening, and a guy by the name of W. Cleon Skousen wrote a book called The Naked Communist. And in this book, he basically played out the 45 steps that these were going out to achieve, these communists in America with these progressives using Hollywood, mainstream media, education system, these things that the government already had control of and was basically making them dance like the monkey on the string and the government's the organ grinder, or somebody running the government be the organ grinder. Again, if you understand, they were setting up the counterculture revolution, and that's when they created the Department of Education, Health, and Welfare in 1953. And then in the 60s, during the counterculture revolution, it actually was given steroids, and they started separating welfare, education, and health. And so now we've got these three entities on steroids. And the federal government was stepping in, and the curriculum started changing. It was in the 50s where they stopped teaching the Constitution, and it was in the 60s when they started teaching socialism and communism and those ideologies. When I graduated from high school, there was no doubt I was being indoctrinated to thinking as a socialist that government should do all of these things. And here's the irony. Remember the 60s, how they were saying, you know, government's the bad guy. You know, we don't need government to doing all of these things. And look at all of those rock and roll stars today. Crosby, Stills, Nash, Springsteen. They're all telling us, oh, you got to do what government says. Which is right? Were they right then or are they right now? And actually, if you really listen to the words, and because I grew up in that time frame, they were already talking about saving the planet. Grand Funk, Edgar Winter, 10 years after, there's all sorts of bands that were writing about, you know, having to save the planet, that we're killing ourselves. And if you understand what we've been doing to ourselves and allowing the government to manage and manipulate our education system, then you can understand why we become godless and why we have, you know, this mind model of kids that are running around out there. I'll have to get back to this when we get back after the break, but elections have consequences, and allowing us to go unconstitutional has consequences. We'll be right back after this. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests access to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And taking prayer out of the school, so I don't want to even, you know, skip a beat here. Taking prayer out of the school has had consequences. If you're looking for empirical data, the data's in, folks. Since we have removed the Bible, since we have removed fundamental Christian studies and the morals that came with that, as well as prayer and that conscience that we instilled back in the 50s and through the 60s as we were removing that, gutting that, and actually creating a self-gratifying society where kids are told, well, do whatever it feels good. And as a matter of fact, that's when drugs, free love, and all of these things have consequences. We're at a point now where we're reaping the consequences of this, and people are scratching their heads going like, what's happening with this Me Too movement? What's happening with all of these terrible things? When you debase a society, these are the consequences. This is the outcome. And so if you want to change, it's not about the Second Amendment. It has nothing to do with the Constitution other than the fact that the Constitution is being egregiously violated. Get the government out of the classrooms. Get the government out of the hospitals. Get the government out of all of these great institutions that were established by actually the churches. Go do your history. Who created the colleges? Who created St. Joseph's and St. Mary's and St. Jude's and Mount Sinai? Who created these institutions? That's right. It was the churches. The churches were the ones that were providing the compassionate service and welfare. Well, the secular progressive said, hey, these guys over here that don't believe in God, well, that's not fair. Well, it is fair. All you have to do is create your own godless, what do you want? I won't call it a church, but let's say you create your own godless organization, and then you can fund your own hospitals, your own education system, and so forth. But instead, what they did was they undermined and they penetrated and they literally usurped these organizations. And they got them, well, actually, I wouldn't even say that they did this, because if you look at the 1800s during the Second Awakening, that Second Awakening was the beginning of the lay evangelical and the Christian movement becoming servants of mammon, because it became a point where that is when the lay leaders and the priests, the ministers, whatever you want to call it, became professional ministers. And so they created an education and theology and those types of things, very much like the Catholic Church, where that was your job and that's all you did. Before that, John Adams' father was a church leader, and he was also, I believe, a cobbler. I mean, he provided a trade, took care of his family, and administered to the community through a lay leading type of function. And what happened was they said, well, you know, administering to the people is just, you know, it's a full-time job. And they got everybody, the parishioners, to believe in this. And during this awakening, what happened was these troops started coming into town, and they would pitch up a tent. They'd have these revivals. People would come, and they would donate all their money. Once they, you know, figured they sapped enough money out of the town, they'd pack up, they'd go to the next town. So if you understand the function of the church before that, when a person was bestowed with a health problem, or when the person was bestowed with a loss of job or what have you, when they were down on their luck, they could go to the local church, and that church would be able to administer for their temporal welfare. Well, when all of a sudden that tent is packed up and gone to another town, how do you do that if you've lost your job or you're sick and you need some help with medical care or what have you? How do you do that? It's gone. And so is your money. And if you understand what was happening, this was the actualization of ministers going in towards the financial side of preaching. And that is what happened. And that's why I tell people, go to the Circle of Protection today. As a matter of fact, I'm another give. I am so giving because it's Valentine's Day. I am going to give you the signators, that is the current signators for the Circle of Protection, on my podcast page. And I'll put the PDF up there so you can go through all the churches that are supporting putting state welfare on a higher priority so that they can take more money from you good hard earners, so that they can give to the indolent, so that the churches can keep their money. In other words, these churches have been abdicating their responsibility since the 1800s, and they've been getting better and better at it because they've been passing off you, their parishioners, over to these state institutions, these government institutions, and they're creating more of it. As a matter of fact, one of the ways they're trying to save money currently is by actually delivering or mailing you food packages instead of you getting food stamps, because the government's saying, well, we can't even afford this anymore. We get to a point, folks, when we can know there's not enough other people's money left to go around, and we're taking on more and more debt. This is so immoral. And what's going on is in these schools, and what happened today is an indictment on our society and how we've debased ourselves. That's plain and simple. And changing or getting rid of the Second Amendment is about the stupidest thing a person can even utter, that this has nothing to do with the Constitution other than the fact, as I said before, that we are violating, egregiously violating that Constitution by allowing the federal government to do all sorts of things that they have not been delegated those powers by the states. And I will tell you that the states do have that authority and they do have that power. And so as I've been going through all different types of marketing, and, you know, this today should be a primary, and this whole rant should hopefully feed you with some marketing to say, what is it going to take, folks? What do I need to say to motivate you to say, it is about time we demand that the federal government abide by the Constitution and allow our local institutions to take their power back, get the right institutions involved in these things, such as churches and local communities, and let them start driving their curriculum, create competition, not globalist standards, so that we can actually start learning what is better and what isn't better, because we have all sorts of technology and we have this archaic system that we call the education system that cannot keep up anymore. And so it's just broke. The education system is broke. And that's why one of the next books I will be writing when we move past this Republic Review problem will be Ending the Self-Licking Ice Cream Cone and how we can take back the education system to where we become the number one educated nation in the world. I'm telling you, our elected officials do not care whether we're the most educated and most literate nation. What they care is we're the most law-abiding by their unconstitutional laws, and the most we do what we're told. We're the useful idiots that they need us to be. Right? That's what they need. They need good citizens, not critical thinkers and innovators. And so, let me go into one, because I've got a minute left. I did have another thing that I wanted to kind of take to task on some former Obama stuff. If you remember, there was a point in time where Obama took over a sovereign land called Arizona during the drug cartel, as they were basically being under siege with all these drugs coming in. And instead of basically protecting them and providing them with what they needed, they allowed this state, which is a violation, by the way, of Article 4, Section 4. They are supposed to be protecting us and this and the United States from any type of onslaught from foreign entities, and they're not doing that. And he didn't do that when he allowed the drug cartel to just basically act in engaging in war against the good citizens of Arizona. I will give you some more of those marketing tidbits tomorrow, but I wanted to really focus on the fact that we are reaping what we sow here. We actually get, and we deserve what we get when we continue to not vote for constitutional candidates. And if we're going to continually vote down the party line and not hold standards and demand that these people understand the Constitution, how it applies to them, both in a local sense, state sense, and at the federal level, then this is what we get, folks. And we have to start taking action. I hope you're beginning to get motivated. And with that, we've got a hard break. And when we come back, I'm actually going to close on some Federalist Papers and maybe move into something else. I will surprise you. But I'll be right back after word from our sponsors.
I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships, from the designers they work with to the artisans they employ and you, the homeowner. They relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus up front on what you want and what you need, and begin forming a plan like a sculpture, taking care of the intricate details to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, or simply adding a room, a bath remodel, they take a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component to the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream to make your dreams become a reality. Contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. This is GR Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
This is GR Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And before I get into this Federalist paper, I wanted to give you a little back brief. So I've been working with a few organizations and trying to get them to give me a definitive position as to where we are or where they stand on Republic Review. And one organization is a definitive, they have a definitive position that they are anti-convention of states. And so as I was talking and working with a actual person that kind of supports the convention of states, we were going through how the anti-convention states has been pitching and selling and saying this is really dangerous. And their primary reason why it's dangerous is that it would become a con, and they could completely rewrite and we would lose our Constitution altogether. And I can't disagree with them more. That's really not the real reason why I say that the Convention of States is a danger, and it would be dangerous at this time. Because if you understand contracts and contract law, there is this little technicality that when you go forward in saying, I've got a problem with the contract, and I'm going to open up the contract for, you know, making an amendment via the Article 5 process, and you do not address all the little problems and the little nuances, and you, in other words, you have one shot at this. And if you don't address them and you don't deal with them correctly, which nine times out of 10, they're going to fail in addressing these things, then when you go away, all those little problems, all these unconstitutional powers, all of a sudden become implied because you didn't address them, you didn't identify them, and you didn't, you know, draw the lines and so forth. That is why it is critical that we address the egregious problems first. Get the federal government into compliance before you even want to open up the contract and consider whether Congress writes it, whatever the process is in the Article 5 process. You want to make sure that they identify and get into complete compliance before you even have the discussions of how we may want to change this. That being said, Hamilton is basically echoing a sentiment that Madison stated earlier, and I said this a few shows ago. This is about barriers. And Madison talked about the need that states needed to create barriers. The department was not good enough. And so this is precisely how Hamilton phrased it in Federalist Paper number 85. We may safely rely on the disposition of the state legislatures to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. If the foregoing argument is a fallacy, certain it is that I myself deceived by it, for it is, in my conception, one of those rare instances in which a political truth can be brought to the test of a mathematical demonstration. And if you understand all of this stuff he's talking about, I honestly believe that the way he presented this concept of the necessity of creating barriers and trying to create hyperbole with the test of a mathematical demonstration, I honestly believe that he had machinations just by the way he was presenting information. He had underlying intentions in trying to move the Constitution, because he wasn't happy with the Constitution, but he wanted to get it in place so that he could start working at undermining it, because, you know, if not, he would have been working to undermine the Articles of Confederation as well, because Hamilton had machinations. He wanted to have a king. He wanted to move us back towards a centralized government. He wanted central powers. Now, when Jefferson spoke about the government that was created through this innovative constitution, he used the terms of centralizing powers, centralizing energies. And so that got me thinking, and this is where I came into this realization of energy. I mean, physics energy. And if you understand centripetal energy and centrifugal energy, centripetal energy is where the energy is drawing in, it's pulling things in. And if you understand political energy in a centripetal nature, that political energy is trying to pull in all the decisions and power to the center, to the main body of the national entity, which would be the federal government. What we were given was a centrifugal political energy, where the federal government was very limited and everything was left to go outward in distributive nature so that decisions could be made much further away from the central government and be more suited for those local inhabitants within those states and counties. That's why they created a multi-tiered sovereignty system where we have the national government that has sovereignty over very few objects. The states have sovereignty over multitudes of objects, and that sovereignty is shared with those counties. And the people themselves hold all the sovereignty necessary in making the necessary changes that we need. And so that's why I've mentioned this before, that the reason we have as many problems as we do is because we get caught up in our own passions of what we need to do. Well, we got to stop abortion. We've got to stop immigration. I've said this several times. Those are the distractions. We have to get them into compliance. So you have to put aside your differences and self-interests and start working together in saying we need to kill the beast and the unconstitutional government, and we need to get our federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. If we can focus on that, then your little issue, your little pet peeve will go away. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, you will no longer have to worry about your whatever it is. What if you call me and tell me, I cannot give up, you know, this important thing of abortion or this important thing of the corruption or the FBI or immigrant health care, Common Core. There's many, 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 many of them. That's the magnitude of the unconstitutional government we're facing. And so what does it take? That's why I keep on asking you, please call me and tell me, what is it going to take for you to get involved and say, you know what, I need to understand this concept, this contractual concept of our Constitution. And it's really, it's not that hard. My executive summary would probably take you a couple of hours if you've never read these Federalist Papers and if you've never read some of these other founding documents. And the reason I include all of these founding documents is so that you don't take my word for it. You can read it from the founders. That's why when I start off in reading the Federalist Papers, which I didn't say at this time because I want to say it now, are the words in our founding documents that I cite and I include in my executive summary and in my books, are these the words of deceit? Or are the words that we've been taught that actually contradict these words from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and the progressive professors and lawyers and politicians, are those the words of deceit? Who's deceiving us? And I venture to say that it has nothing to do with our framers. It has nothing to do with the good men that forged our hybrid constitutional republic for us. Those men were honest and noble men, even though there were some with, you know, duplicity and dubious desires. Those men were really putting aside their self-interest. None of them died rich or became powerful. They were actually working for their posterity. And so tomorrow, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut up the bounties for the cod fisheries so that I can go through this argument with you, because this is really critical, because most people really look at this necessity in the federal government doing this general welfare. And so many people, I see this in Facebook, I see this all over the place. So many people believe that the federal government needs to keep that teat out and make available any type of welfare, any type of entitlement that you might need, whether it be free education, whether it be a free home, whether it be free food, whether it be free health care. Pretty soon we're going to be getting free dental and we're going to have free veterinary service, and everybody is going to be compelled to provide services for anybody and everybody. And it's going to destroy us, as we can already see how healthcare is destroying us. And, you know, they talked about death panels. How long will that be? When are you going to get motivated in working with us in, you know, taking a stand and becoming a constitutional warrior? This is all the process of reclaiming the republic, because it has to be done at a local level. As the pressure starts going up, and we're going to be start putting the pressure down onto the state legislatures and across the states. And in doing this, my friends, we will be reclaiming the republic. And this is G.R. Mobley, and this is Reclaiming the Republic Show, and I will be back next week or not next week, I'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to dig into these cod fishery bounties. So God bless, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.